Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we wholeheartedly believe women entrepreneurs can rise together. Success comes in many flavors. There are no secret strategies. Women entrepreneurs are rewriting history by defining success on their own terms. Hi, I'm White Dove Gannon, the down-to-earth chick with a different name. Entrepreneur and founder of the Female Entrepreneur Movement, our business is dedicated to helping women start and grow their businesses, increasing financial independence. Each week, join me for inspiring stories and powerful interviews of women entrepreneurs sharing their lessons to success to help you take your business to the next level. Now, let's go for it. Welcome to the FemNation podcast, where we are diving into another interview today. And I have the awesome opportunity to be interviewing Joanne Stoneberg of Soul Investigation. Let me give you a little bit of idea around what that is. She's actually a soul investigator and intuitive astrologer, and she sources teachings and guidance from her 20-year healing journey. This is going to be so amazing to learn what that is and what that, you know, what that sounds like, what that does, and how that can translate into our life. So I want to welcome Joanne.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
You bet. I'm seriously excited to find out. Your journey just sounds amazing. So tell me, where did your entrepreneurial journey start?
So my entrepreneurial journey started when I really came out of the metaphysical closet publicly, if you will. So I was doing a lot of this work part-time, so reading tarot and doing astrology sessions and energy healing work part-time because I still had a full-time job. And then I was in that corporation, in the corporation world for 17 years in the field of accounting, no less.
I can relate.
and then I got laid off in 2015. And when I was working and doing all of my astrology readings and sessions and my intuitive guidance, during that time, I was always saying to myself, oh, I want to do this full time. Right. So then I got my opportunity and it was a little more, like you get hit by a Mack truck, I guess. It's like, okay, here's your opportunity. Got laid off in the oil and gas industry, in 2015. And so then started, what am I going to do? And was trying to figure out what am I going to do next? Because it was like, I was in this employee mode, 9 to 5 employee. And after a year or so, I'm like, duh, like you're doing this. Yeah. Like, okay. The light bulb finally went on and I thought, okay, this is what I meant to do. The universe kept drawing me back to doing my energy healing work with others and astrology with others and really putting myself out there as this teacher and guidance in the metaphysical world. So I did hire a coach to help me with that because it's a real mind shift. You really have to shift your mind from 9 to 5 and it's a whole different mindset, the entrepreneur mindset. You can't talk to your friends about it who are not entrepreneurs because they don't understand what you're going through at all.
Exactly.
So yeah, real mind shift there. And it's like, okay, I'm the one responsible now. I have to take care of everything. Right. And it's like, I'm the one going out and doing this. So it's not for the, as we often hear sometimes, it's not for the faint of heart. Right. It's a constant day-to-day journey. And you're always reinventing, recreating yourself. And in my discovery and help with others, other entrepreneurs helping me through, is discovering that we all have the same issues. Because I felt like I was all alone. I felt like I was doing it wrong. Why am I not doing this like everybody else? You know, feeling like I wasn't perfect. Until I started really talking to all the other entrepreneurs, I'm like, oh, we're good. We're golden. We're exactly where we're supposed to be in my evolution of how I want to brand myself, put myself out there, getting clients, how to market yourself, all the technology. We all have the same issues. So networking and with other entrepreneurs really help to drive home that, hey, I'm in good company here. So this is what it is. This is what it is. This is what entrepreneur is. You have to every day you're on. So, and the other thing I learned as well is really having to set boundaries for yourself, like taking a day off, you know, shutting that off and let's say, okay, I'm taking the afternoon for myself or I'm taking the day for myself. No business, right? Really hard to do that.
Right. Because in the corporate world or the 9-to-5 world, you have a weekend or usually a day or two that is scheduled off for you, but not so much in the entrepreneurial world. We don't do that very well, do we?
No, not at all. Not at all. So it's like, when's the day off? When can I get a day off?
Yeah. And then you're like, no, but people need me. So I need to book that day now too. Yeah. It, outside of the mindset piece of it, what would you say was kind of your biggest obstacle to overcome in being an entrepreneur and then, but also branching into the line of work that you do?
The major obstacle I think was how to market myself, and very challenging that way. I'm still struggling a little bit with that, but I'm starting to get more on board with that because not everybody understands what I do. So it's really talking to people in layman's terms.
What's your best tip for that? For people that are in an energy healing type area?
So my best tip for that is to talk to the what the person's issue is versus how you can help them at that point, at that starting point. So it's one of the marketing ad focus that I'm working on right now is it's called the Career Transition Plan. So it's helping women, mostly women are my clients, men too, helping them work through that transition from career to retiring or doing what they love, more or less what I went through. It's like, I got laid off, so I was sort of forced, but some people want to make that decision. It's like, how do you leave that paycheck? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fears and obstacles, so I help them work through that, those fears and obstacles. And it's going into finding what that pain point is for them. You know, are they making a lot of excuses? You advertise that. Oh, I can't because I can't leave the finances because I got this to pay and that to pay. Oh, but I want to do my passion. You know, I want to go travel. I want to go do this, you know? And it's like, well, you can have that, right? You can quit your job and go do this. So it's a real leap of faith in a lot of ways. It's like standing on that, you know, at the edge there, just like, go fly. You can fly, you know, mama bird kicking the baby birds out of the nest. Right.
Yeah. And, and there's a often used saying that jump and the net will appear, but man, it's the standing there on the edge before the jump that I think is the worst piece of, you know, the unknown, you know, it's looking into that unknown, not knowing what's on the other side and letting go of the security of certain things that a 9-to-5 affords people, you know, so financial security, time security, whatever that it feels like, you know, schedule security, because nobody puts your schedule together for you when you're an entrepreneur, you know, that's you. But, so what, I don't want to dive all the way consistently on, you know, obstacles. What was something that was a success that you overcame in your entrepreneurial journey that really helped shape and define where you are now?
Oh, let me think here. What did I really overcome? I think there was a moment in time, and it wasn't just one specific moment. It was more of a gradual process. Like, it's trying to nail down when your kitten becomes a cat.
True. That's a great one.
So, I know, hey? And so it was more of a gradual process, but I think the really defining moment for me was being invited to these networking groups for women entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. That was really like, oh, I am an entrepreneur. This is who I am. And when I started seeing that they all had the same issues, then it was like I settled into things more. And I wasn't worrying about things, and therefore it was easier for me to make things flow and make things work instead of trying to be at the top of the ladder all the time.
Do you think perfectionism plays a part in being an entrepreneur, a woman entrepreneur, that we have to have it all presentable to the public before we can put it out there?
Totally. This is the, oh yes, that just triggered a thought. That's the trap. Where I went from my, website has to be done, my all these background administration things to have done before I can put myself out there. I have to have a logo. I have to have this. I have to have a name. I have to have that. You know, I have to have all these things set up first before I can put myself out there. And that was one of the biggest things I learned was don't worry about all that stuff. You know, it's yes, we still need to do it, but don't make it your sole focus. So there's sort of an 80-20 rule. And it's like, go out there and start talking to people, start building relationships with clients and people. And that's where the customers are, because you want 80% relationship and 20% administration.
Absolutely. And I know for a fact that for myself and for other women entrepreneurs I've spoken to, that is one of the biggest obstacles to overcome, is making sure that we don't have to get it all perfect. We just got to get it done, right? Just get moving with it. So let me ask you more about what you do. How did you determine that was the direction you wanted to go once you were kind of given the opportunity to become an entrepreneur?
So all my life, I've always been very sensitive and intuitive to my surroundings. And so I've always had this naturally intuitive gift, if you will. And over the years, I've developed it further by taking a lot of trainings in different areas, past life regression work, working with the ancestors, working with earthbound spirits or ghosts, as are commonly known, and mm-hmm. helping them cross over. So I see that all the time. So training myself in all of those modalities plus other energy healing work has helped me to really discover this really strong part of myself that I cannot ignore. So it's mm-hmm. part of who I am. This is my passion. I enjoy doing it. It's lots of fun. And I look at it as it's almost looking at behind the scenes of everything that's going on the planet.
Yeah.
For that we see physically. I work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's more or less what I do in a nutshell.
And you said you dabbled with this, you were working in this a little bit on the side as you were working in your corporate job. Did you know prior to being given the swifter opportunity to become an entrepreneur, did you know prior to that, that this was something that you couldn't not do?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Because I had the comfort of my day job. Mm-hmm. But it was still always a big part of me day to day. I utilized it every day of my life, mm-hmm. On my own personal journeys, my own personal healings throughout all of it and throughout all my training. Mm-hmm. And after I left the corporate world, it was, yeah, this is me. This is who I am. I can't go do anything else. Yes, I have other hobbies, but it's not my main focus.
Sure. Did you fight it a little bit though? I mean, was it a difficult decision to say, I'm going to make this into a business, or did it come easily once that transition was made that you didn't have that other, you know, quote, safety net?
It was a little bit difficult at first. I was still sort of doing it, but wasn't giving it my full 100% attention a few years ago because I was still thinking, oh, what else am I going to do? And I think I was doing that trying to look for another job or something that was a little more acceptable with my family and other people around me. And so I did try cake decorating. I did do cake decorating. I took a professional class and actually taught cake school for a year.
Oh, wow.
Really enjoyed that. Loved that. And then after that, it was like, okay, I realized like, okay, this is what I'm meant to do. And I can't work for anybody else. They have to only work for me.
That's interesting. What has really been a profound moment in working with clients in your business that really kind of sealed the deal for you as an entrepreneur?
Working with clients, it's going back to that analogy of standing on the edge, mm-hmm. and it's helping them that moment when they become unstuck and they fly, their light bulb goes on, helping them to break through, make those breakthroughs. And all of a sudden they're on motion. They're in motion again. They're, you know, helping them to make the choices and decisions. I don't do that for them, but just help them to see their choices that they do have. And then they're like, oh, I can do this. Like, it's helping them give themselves permission to do what they've always wanted to do, but can't.
Is there a common, underlying thing that seems to be the similar for women?
Mostly it's stuck, being stuck in the paradigm that, you know, I have to do this job. There's lots of obligations. I have to take care of everything. I have to take care of everybody, because as women, we're nurturers.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard for them to break away from that and take time for themselves. So the one big theme there is like, don't worry about everybody else. Take care of you. So it's helping them to come back to themselves so they can focus in on them and realize that they have the choice in their lives to take control of their lives. And it doesn't mean they have to leave everybody. No, it's sure. just taking themselves to the next level, what they want for them.
Do you find that women have a tendency to not step into really kind of the forefront of leadership? Women are leaders. Women are always leaders, but we have been conditioned for years to kind of stay in the shadows with our leadership and just be strong in kind of more of a private setting, or, you know, just our tiny community or community of family people. You know, I mean, we leave that in the back. We seem to have a resurgence, or actually not a resurgence, a surgence of, you know, women starting to bring that to light. Do you believe that that's going to help women entrepreneurs be able to move faster and swifter in the entrepreneurial world?
I'd have to say yes. And it all depends on that woman and her choices. But the more women that are taking the bull by the horns and leading and being that strong entrepreneur are the trailblazers for those women who are, you know, maybe struggling a little bit, or they want to do that and they have a mentor mm-hmm. to guide them. It's like, oh, if they can do that, I can do that too. Mm-hmm. And off they go. And it's like, how do I figure this out? Right.
Right. Well, and taking the bull by the horns is definitely relative too, because my version of taking the bull by the horns and your version of taking the bull by the horns may be two completely different versions. So not generalizing that particular aspect of it, but each in their own, you know, in their own specific scenario, take, you know, that leadership role. So yes. I just wanted to make sure that was clear, that I wasn't saying that if women don't step into, you know, some forward facing leadership role, then they're not being leaders. They very much are, you know, so it varies across the board. So talk to me about, discovering who you are at a soul level, because that intrigues me on some of that work that you do. And you don't have to give away all your, you know, all the things that you work with clients on, but just tell me a little bit about that.
So discovering who you are at a soul level. So with when I started doing astrology back in 2004, this is where I started to really discover more about myself, who I was at a soul level, looking at all the planets, where they were on the day I was born, or anybody was born, and really discovering, this is why I am the way I am, looking at the planet of the sun, and mm-hmm. then looking at my moon sign as well, my emotional state, how I communicate, what my drive is, my energy, my relationships, my parents, and there's so many things you can see on that soul level. But one of the main things with that soul level is what you came in with to work through in this lifetime to help you grow and evolve if you chose to. So I study and practice evolution, what's called evolutionary astrology, which is looking at the soul and what that soul is here to learn, to grow and evolve from. And the earth and everything that we have around us in our environment is the stage that we play all this out on. And so it's a really nice guide at that level to help myself and help other people.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like a lot of that plays into the world would be a different place if we were all connected to our, where we are at on our soul level individually, you know, and I think then it would raise the collective. Because I think there's a detachment. Think is right, but feeling that there is a detachment for a lot of people. But I do also see that a lot of people are searching for what that looks for. They just don't know how, what, or, you know, how's what's that even look like? You know, so they can't find it, not because they don't want to, but they don't know what direction to have or to go to find what that looks like and being connected on a soul level. What does it look like to work with you? How does somebody work with you?
How does somebody work with me? I first ask them why they are searching me out, what's going on in their lives that they need help with, to work through with. They may have a lot of family issues that they need ancestral help with. They may have a lot of things to resolve in either the current life or past lives that are stopping them from moving forward. Mm-hmm. So a session with me is looking at their astrology chart to really help them understand more about themselves, and then doing whatever modality is necessary for them. So it's a little bit organic. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have clients come to me with a specific issue that I need to get rid of this right away. I'm like, okay, I know what to do. We're going to do a past life work or ancestor work. And then they come in and we do a session with them. So, yeah.
How does the ancestry stuff work? Because I have questions around this too often. So I'm just going to present that on the podcast for the listeners because they may have the same questions. But how does our ancestors' actions or inactions or decisions affect us when it feels like we're, you know, three generations removed?
So when we're talking ancestors, we have to remember that we are our ancestors.
Okay.
Because we came from, whether we know them or not, they're still very much part of our DNA and also part of our character and personality as well as built in there. So when you start looking into your ancestry and, you know, generations or, oh my God, I'm so much like my, you know, great, great so-and-so, and you may follow the same work path or same environment type things that you're doing or have some of the same personalities. Mm-hmm. There are cases where a family member has reincarnated into the same family. Okay. And there's studies about that. And so we are our ancestors, and the ancestors always want to tell their stories if they have stories to tell.
Sure.
And I help set up a space for that, a safe space for that to happen, to help them heal and resolve whatever issue is going on for them. And then it helps to resolve patterns of behavior within that family line.
Wow. Okay.
Is that like, help?
Yeah. I mean, it causes so many, you know, questions. And I'm like, All right. So that's connecting dots there. You know, I mean, it's very, very broad. So it's very difficult to, you know, try to paint the picture for the listeners too, but trying to understand the specifics of, you know, what you do, what gifts you have, and how you present them to the world. You know, it's trying to bring up those conversations of, you know, what does that look like? Or what does this look like? Or, you know, cause there's a lot of questions around, you know, the unseen world. But it's very much alive. You know, just because we can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But anybody who's true to themselves can feel, you know, if they think about it, they can feel the unseen world.
Totally. So to comment on that is back in the, like, way, if we go back many, many thousands of years to the indigenous people and the tribes around the world, they lived in harmony with nature. That's how they survived. The nature and the spirit animals and the earth and the plants and the rivers, they were all alive to them. They read those. They were in tune and in sync with all of that energy, as well as the physical world. And in today's world, we've lost that part of ourselves. And this is where going back to people asking you, you know, people searching and seeking, no, it feeling like they're missing something. That's what they're missing. They're missing the soul connection, this energy connection to nature, coming back to what's right, coming back to natural law versus man-made conditioning. Mm. So that's where the real big disconnect is. And before, there was a question asked in another webinar that I was watching. Somebody asked a question about, well, when did wars really start? And wars only started 6,000-7,000 years ago. And before that, the tribes all lived in harmony and in synchronicity with everybody and everybody around them. And there were no wars. Mm-hmm. So as we've evolved as humans over time, we've slowly disconnected. And I think there's a lot more people trying to reconnect with that natural law, that natural way of being. And that's why we're seeing this huge resurgence over the past, I don't know, 15, 20 years mm-hmm. of all these healing modalities out there.
Because they're seeking something different, something deeper.
Yeah.
So fascinating. I'm like,
I know.
Honestly, you know, being in tune with what that looks like and inside of really getting in tune with themselves for the listeners of the podcast, what is one way that they can start becoming more aware of, you know, like a tip or a hack of some way of being, you know, working for more clarity and soul level and really being in touch with that purpose? Because I see so many women entrepreneurs, have a big purposeful mission that is, it's bigger than just doing the thing of being in business. You know, they have a big purpose, a big calling that they feel called to and compelled to work towards, and their business is really just a vehicle of how they get there. So what is something that they could, you know, lean on to start diving into that themselves, you know, with the intention of, you know, striking the conversation with you, you know, if the need arises for them. But how can we practice being aware and being a little more connected to our soul level?
So one of the things would be through meditation, having stillness and quiet. Mm-hmm. And meditation isn't always just sitting there and breathing in and out. You can go for a walk in nature, which is a meditative state. But go for a slow walk in nature. Start paying attention to the trees and the wind and the river and just start really feeling that. And listening to your intuition as well, because we're still human. We still have to function in the world. So we want to bring those together. So by slowing things down every once in a while, putting down your phones or your laptop every once in a while and getting out in nature and going for a walk, which is what I'll be doing after we're finished here. And that's where to just reconnect and just slowing down but really listening to your intuition and your guidance, even though you may know that guidance or that intuition may upset somebody else, it's for their benefit as well. Mm. So really practicing that strong intuition for you. And it's all about getting out of our heads and down into our bodies as well. The other tip is, what's body saying? How do I feel? What's body feeling? Mm-hmm. You know, when we're posed with a decision of an opportunity, does that opportunity make you feel excited and your body's going yes, or is it going no and the body gets slumped and it's like, oh my God, do I have to do this? Like, so it's, you want to follow your fun and your passion, right?
Right. And if you feel like you're fighting it, then take a check at that, you know, look at that and see, you know, analyze that and why are you feeling that, you know, and maybe it's simply just working through something in your mind or in your conscious, but also, you know, being able to take stock and what's coming up and why.
Yeah. One of the big questions is to stop and just say, okay, how do I feel about this? Mm. Real simple, real easy to do anywhere, anytime, takes seconds. How do I feel about that? Just stop, take a breath, and see what the answer is for you.
I can tell from experience, I can tell, you know, the listeners that being in alignment is a whole different level. I mean, absolutely being in alignment. There have been years where I can grind and push out whatever I needed to, but yet it was almost like I was fighting it to do it. I could still get it done, but it was off. And so having that clarity and being in alignment on what, you know, whatever needs to, you know, whatever you're determining at that point in time, whether it's in your relationships, in your business, in your life, anywhere, but being in alignment has its own sense of peace.
Totally, totally. And yeah, stuff still happens to me. Life still happens. And it's still having that connection with self and just being gentle with yourself as well, because we can be very hard on ourselves as well sometimes.
Absolutely.
Like you said, that struggle, like push, push, push. It's like, wait, stop, breathe.
I know. And we would do it, you know, especially entrepreneurs. It's in our head that we have to move forward. We got to muscle it ahead. Yeah.
Exactly.
The focus. So how has your entrepreneurial journey changed you?
It's changed me by having more confidence in myself and who I am. Mm-hmm. There's no excuses anymore. It's been awesome. Like I said, it's just built up my confidence and yes, I can do this. But the other thing I've learned too is focusing on my strengths, finding the people who I need to get help with. So knowing that you can't do everything, asking for help, don't be your DIY person. You know how that looks after construction in the house happens.
It takes forever.
Yeah. Go get help. If you need a techie person, go find a techie person to help you. You know, it may cost a few dollars at first, but in the end, it's so beneficial because you're not spending hours on end trying to figure something out when somebody else who has that expertise can come in and fix it in half an hour and teach you at the same time.
Excellent. Excellent advice. I really appreciate that. And I know the listeners will too. So tell me, Joanne, where can they find you? Where are you at?
So where am I at? So I have a couple of places. I have a Facebook page called As the Planets Turn, of which I will be starting a show in the future. Nice. on Facebook. And they can, if they want to have a one-on-one, what I call a soul inspiration call with me, it's 45 minutes. They can go to booksoulchat.com/apply. Again, that's booksoulchat.com/apply to book a time with me if they choose to. Or they can find me on Facebook under my name, Joanne Stoneberg, and message me the easiest way. And then I can give them my website and
sure.
address as well.
Sure, yeah. But the conversation, the door for the conversation is open. So, you know, then being able to find you. And we will provide those links in the show notes as well so they know where to connect with you. But I really want to thank you for coming on today and really speaking from a deeper space and something that we all are aware of, but we don't often focus on. That would probably be better if we did. So I really appreciate you coming in and sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, and your journey to the listeners today, Joanne.
Thank you so much, White Dove. I really appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you so much.
And guys, please check out the show notes because, again, this is a great conversation starter to be had. And every single interview that we have on the podcast, it is resoundingly an open door for an extended conversation. It is an open door to connect and to get answers and ask questions and, you know, find those paths moving forward. And I encourage you to always check them out, but see what Joanne's up to. Might surprise you a little bit. As always, keep moving forward.
Thanks for listening to the FemNation podcast. Be sure to check out our show notes for more details from the episode. If you love the show, share it with a friend or drop me a note. I'd love to hear from you over at whitedovegannon.com or find me on social media. Until next time, keep moving forward.